Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My next guest has been in music for 35 years. He's produced 11 albums, most of them with his rock and roll band, Soul Asylum.
Hello, speak up. Is there somebody there? These hang-ups are getting me down. In a world closing over with overexposure, let's talk it over. Let's go out and paint.
Soul Asylum and Dave Perner just put out a new album called Change of Fortune. The band has seen a lot of lineups over the years, but lead singer and guitar player Dave Perner has been there for all of it. Runaway Train, Somebody to Shove, Black Gold, and that whole Grave Dancers Union album from 1992 ranks up there with some of the greatest rock and roll records of all time. Soul Asylum will be at Talia Hall on July 9th, and Dave Perner joins me now. Dave, thanks for taking some time out. We appreciate it.
Hey, Justin, thank you, man.
You come through Chicago, I would assume, you know, all the years with Soul Asylum and even before that. Talk about your visits to Chicago. What do you like about coming to Chicago?
What don't I like about coming to Chicago? I love Chicago because it's, you know, I'm from Minnesota, and I spent some time living in L.A., and I spent some time living in New York. Then I moved to New Orleans for the last 15 mm-hmm. years. I've never lived in Chicago, but I've always wanted to. It seems like a great city in the Midwest, which is like Minneapolis, only a lot bigger.
Well, I mean, you've played all types of venues here. You've played outdoor festivals, you know, you've played the indoor metro, those kind of places, Talia Hall. Talk about your relationship with the Chicago audience, because this town has supported Soul Asylum for so many years. And every time Soul Asylum shows up, you know, a summer festival or anything, it just seems like everybody, it just pops up everywhere. Everyone talks about Soul Asylum coming through. Talk about your memories of playing big and small shows here in town.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a Midwestern lineage. We've been playing Chicago for 35 years, and every time we come back, there's some new people and some people that we recognize from back in the day, and it's really fun. I mean, we started out playing in all the worst clubs in town, and we played all kinds of clubs that aren't open anymore, and then we graduated up to, you know, the Cubby Bear or something. We play those street festivals, and those are always really fun, and yeah, I had fun at those before I started playing at them, and, you know, as long as y'all will keep having us, we love coming there and playing. It's, I don't know, maybe it's a Midwestern thing, I'm not really sure, but it certainly is a great music town. There's no doubt about that.
You guys were much more of a punk rock aesthetic when Soul Asylum started in the 80s, early 80s, when you were launched, even with different bands before with Soul Asylum. At that time, when you were coming through Chicago in the 80s, even before the Soul Asylum that hit the charts, what do you remember about playing punk music here in town when you guys would come through at that time?
Well, I think the first thing that came to my mind was Articles of Faith, and that was a band that we made fast friends with, and they had a house called Big Blue, and it was just a big blue house where bands stayed and where their whole band was kind of set up, and they had a bar around the corner called the Church of 1,000 Liquors, or that's what we called it anyways. And it was really fun. I mean, it was back in the day where we didn't get hotels and we'd stay at people's houses, and whenever we came to Chicago, Articles of Faith would put us up, and we just raised hell the whole time we were in town, and it was always really chaotic and really funny and really fun. And that's kind of who took us in first, so I think I owe Articles of Faith a big thank you for their hospitality. They're still around. I still run into them when I'm in Chicago, one dude or the other. I think their singer is a professor at Harvard now, so there you go.
Oh, there you go.
Big Bondi.
The music, I mean, making a transition from the punk music scene that you guys were a part of in the 80s to the music of Soul Asylum that kind of went mainstream, it was almost when you introduced the acoustic guitar. Talk about how your music changed when you guys got to the Grave Dancers Union part of your career.
Well, we got signed to A&M Records, and we made two records for A&M, and that was before people used the expression alternative. So back in the day, it was alternative to what the record label focused on. It just meant we kind of were in the ghetto of the major labels. And I think somewhere after the second A&M record, we were on tour, and it was just getting to be such a grind. We had a gig with Jane's Addiction, and at that point, I had just played a show in Colorado, and my ears were all messed up, kind of like the dude in AC/DC or something. I just couldn't figure out what was going on. And I guess the doctor said, man, you got to chill out on all that super loud volume. You're playing in a tiny basement with that airplane level decibels. Yeah. And you gotta be a little more careful when you're hanging around those big loud amps and big loud drums and stuff. And at that point, I was like, well, maybe I should try the acoustic guitar. And I took a little time off and I started writing on the acoustic guitar. And it kind of was the genesis of the Grave Dancers record. So, yeah, I mean, it was a thing where, you know, I thought acoustic guitars were kind of, you know, for wusses or something. And then, I'd also realized that I just spent quite a bit of my last 5 or 10 years listening to people like Bob Dylan and Woody Guthrie. And I'm like, I like this kind of music. So I think it sort of took a little bit of a turn towards folk music, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I've always kind of related the folk aesthetic to the punk aesthetic in a way. It's kind of music for the people, by the people. And that's why I moved to New Orleans, because I thought that the street music was also had the same sort of aesthetic, which is kind of like everybody is part of the show and it's not a rock star trip or whatever the heck it is. And I think that that's kind of where that record comes from. I mean, our newest record, I'm kind of back to electric all right. the time. And there's not a lot of sort of acoustic folky stuff on the new record. So it is also just kind of changing the pasta and mixing things up to keep it interesting. And at the time Grave Dancers came out, I think the punk rock thing had gotten to a point where I thought it was punk rock to sort of be, you know, really not punk rock. That seemed like the most punk rock thing to do. So
that is pure punk rock, right?
Right. So I don't know. Out of all that, it was a good thing for me as a writer, and it was a good thing for the band as far as just showing that we're versatile and showing that every song is not the same, and just showing that we can more than just play the same 3-chord punk songs all day long. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but. Yeah, I moved to New Orleans to be part of a different sort of a scene where, you know, it was really more based in jazz music and stuff. And that also just kind of keeps me stimulated as far as what music has to offer and what I have to offer it. And I think you got to kind of stretch out to keep it interesting. And so far it's working.
We're talking with Dave Perner from Soul Asylum. They're playing Talia Hall on July 9th. That is interesting about influence and inspiration as a musician. I mean, moving to New Orleans, and you've mentioned a couple times now, how has that helped you evolve and mature as a musician?
Well, I think that the punk aesthetic thing plays a part in that, because it was so much like we hate you and you hate us and everybody hates everybody. And yeah, the main emotion was always anger. And, well, it worked pretty good. I mean, it's really fun to be pissed off, and there's a cathartic nature to it, to really just going out there with your fists out. And when I got to New Orleans, it seemed like everybody was smiling, and the music was supposed to make you happy, and it was a relief from all the things that we were complaining about in punk rock. And that really appealed to me, to see all these musicians smiling and playing and making this sort of joyous noise. And it really kind of helped me grow up a little bit, I think. And, you know, the other thing is that they were just incredible musicians, you know, coming from a jazz sort of an angle. They just had all these different ideas about how it all works together. And I was still watching 4-piece bands. It was just bebop instead of punk rock. And it certainly wasn't anything other than intimate and musical and, you know, not a lot of star tripping, but musicians that I hadn't been around my whole life, but really incredible musicians. And that really appealed to me. And I always kind of feel like a rock dude in a jazz town or whatever. I don't know. It's just sort of something to get your ears tweaked to the possibilities. And you know, I thought maybe I'd end up being a jazz guitar player, but obviously that hasn't happened. but I think I learned some new chords along the way. Things like that.
You could do the Spinal Tap, the Freeform Jazz.
Oh, yeah.
Soul Asylum's Freeform Jazz Odyssey, right.
I'm working on it.
Well, with Change of Fortune, a new record. I mean, it's been interesting, Soul Asylum, since the 90s, which really was when you guys took off with the records and really made it into mainstream pop music. But you've taken your time in doing records. There was a time where you took some years off, obviously the death of your bandmate, but also, you know, just changing of the lineups. There's been space between. Is that a good thing for a musician to take some years off to reflect or to get away and come back at it fresh?
I'd kind of call it a period of reckoning or something, trying to figure out, look how far we've come and look how far we're still trying to go and all those kind of where are we and what are we doing this for and all that kind of stuff where you're really questioning the validity of what it is you're doing. It's just when someone dies in your band, yeah. you're pretty much thinking, the band is done. So we were just kind of wondering what was going to happen next. And at some point after Carl died, Tommy Stinson from The Replacements stepped forward and said, well, I'll play with you guys. And that was kind of, Carl loved Tommy and this, that, and the other thing. So that made us feel like we could carry on. And we went back out and everything was kind of new and old and starting over. And just these kind of events tend to, really make you step back and go, God, I mean, can we go on without Carl, or can we go on without whoever is, you know, questioning the same thing we're always questioning about, and then going, why am I doing this? And going, I'd rather stay home. And that's just a natural aesthetic in rock music. I mean, you got to be kind of crazy to keep doing it. And the survivors are the people that are the most serious about it, or that love it the most, or just can't get away from it. And you see a lot of the crew people and stuff, they'll quit and try to make a life at home, and it's like an ex-con trying to get a job like everybody. So they go back out to the road, and now I'm back with my tour manager, who said he was going to quit about 15 years ago, and so I didn't have anybody to take the band to Canada, and we're back together for the first time and 15 years, and he's been going out ever since then, but he keeps trying to quit, you know.
Dave, when you think about it, I mean, 35 years as a musician, I mean, you've worked as an artist, as a musician. This is your full-time job. Talk about how hard that is to accomplish. There's so many artists, there's so many musicians, people in their craft and their skill that want to make a career out of their art. For you, for Soul Asylum, for all of it, to continue and have this kind of track record, to put new music out 35 years later, what's the secret?
Being crazy, having a sense of humor, and just real, I call them the three P's, passion, patience, and persistence, and just really kind of keeping your nose to the grindstone and not really worrying about some of the outside forces that are, you know, always kind of challenging you to stand down. You know, it's just kind of people have kids, and then that becomes an issue, and this, that, and the other thing is happening. But, you know, it's always kind of been my dream, and I never really thought that I could pull it off. I don't really feel like I'm, like, hanging on to it reluctantly or anything like that. It still feels like it's progressing, and the new record is real progressive as far as the lineage of how many records we've made. But, yeah, I mean, my marriage fell apart, and things like that happen. And, you know, it's not as cool when you're not 18 to be behaving like a crazy person in a rock band. I mean, it's, you know, people grow up, which is kind of, you know, it's life. It's also people grow out of music and stuff. And that's just never going to happen to me. I mean, I know that when you're younger, you go through a period where, you know, you think, maybe, man, music is awesome, I'm into it. And then and I don't know what happens, you know. Still kind of a great thing to be a part of. And I'm still kind of living a dream. I don't know if it's the dream, but I still really love doing it. And I'm just sort of thankful to be able to continue on, you know.
Dave Perner is the man behind Soul Asylum. The new record is Change of Fortune, which is a great record. It really is a great piece of work, and it reminds me of the Soul Asylum that we all fell in love with. Dave Perner will be and Soul Asylum will be on stage at Talia Hall on July 9th in Pilsen. Dave, thanks so much for taking some time out, and good luck with the tour.
Thank you, fellas. We'll see you in Chicago.